In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Glory to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Parsing words is a very common and effective means of self-defense when we are accused of some wrongdoing or something. We often hang our defense on what the precise meaning of the word is. And so, when a wife says to her husband, "You never fill in the blank," instead of dealing with what it was he didn't do that time, often an argument will ensue as he tries to prove to her that it's not true that he never does whatever, that he never takes out the trash when it's full. They spend their time arguing over the word never, whether that's accurate or not, rather than dealing with the issue, which is that his wife is upset that he's not doing something he's supposed to do to help out around the house. Whether it's never, whether it's some of the time, whether it's most of the time, that's not really the heart of the issue. And yet so often we get caught up in fighting over the precise meaning of the word and hiding behind our preferred understanding of it. We saw a president of the 90s doing this when he was accused of certain misdeeds and was famously, I think it was, parsing the word "is" what it really meant, whether he was guilty or not. And yet this is what this lawyer does here in this encounter Jesus has when he asks what he must do to inherit eternal life. Jesus tells him, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus says, "You're right, that's correct." Then the man wants to know, "Who is my neighbor? Who is the neighbor? Who is that person I have to love to fulfill the law and inherit eternal life?" And so Jesus tells the parable of the Good Samaritan to show who it is, the neighbor, who he is, that we're expected to show love to fulfill the command, love your neighbor. And if we read that parable carefully, who is our neighbor? Well, the Jew who is wounded at the side of the road, who is neighbor to him? It was a Samaritan, a person who was despised by Jews, to whom Jews would not give the time of day, whom they wouldn't associate with because they were unclean and vile in the Jewish mind. They had part of the Jewish faith and religion, but they were not pure. And so the Jews shunned them. Translate that into our own day. It's like a black man in the South who's been oppressed, who's been slandered by some snotty white man, and then sees that man lying at the side of the road, hurt, unable to help himself. He either has a chance there for revenge, chance to disdain the man, ignore him. But this is precisely where the command is carried out. The one who's been despised, the one who's been mistreated, is called to do that to the one who's been despising him and mistreating him. The Samaritan shows love. He shows human decency. He does the thing that needs to be done to the person who hates him, the person who despises him, the person who could say is his enemy. He loves his enemy and cares for him, and provides for his desperate need. And that's the definition of neighbor for us to love. The person who despises us, the person who mistreats us, the co-worker who stabs us in the back and slanders us to the boss, the person who's always tattling on us, person who doesn't show us what we consider to be due respect or give us attention or isn't considerate to us the way we want people to be considerate to us. That's the person we're called to love. But what is this love? So often we confuse love with a feeling. We think that to love somebody, we have to have a warm, fuzzy feeling towards them and enjoy them and be attracted to them and just feel this love towards them. But the love that God asks of us is not a feeling. It's action. It's doing the right thing to our fellow man, whether we feel like it or not. And thus love is always at hand. It's always within our power to do it. We can choose to do the right thing regardless of how we feel. And this Samaritan man, seeing a Jewish man naked at the side of the road, wounded, overcomes whatever feelings he might have of years of Jewish snubs and insults and oppression, if you will. He puts all that aside and sees a fellow human being made in the image of God and does what's necessary to take care of this fellow human being made in the image of God. Love is shown in the action, in the doing, in the choosing to do the right thing. And so the parable really teaches us your neighbor is your enemy. Ultimately, your neighbor is your enemy, the person that you'd rather not deal with. But as we love our enemies, we fulfill the commandment of Christ to love our neighbor. We find eternal life. By the way, the same understanding of love applies abundantly in marriage. We have such a distorted view of love. It applies to relations between men and women. And marriage is for men and women only, by the way, regardless of what civil authorities or others may say, in God's eyes, that is. But that love between a man and woman, while there may be feelings, while there may be emotions, ultimately it's a daily choice to do the right thing to that person, to treat that person with respect, to fulfill one's obligations to that person, to defend that person, to nourish that person, whether we feel like it or not. Sometimes the feelings are there, sometimes they're not, but love is in the choosing to do the right thing daily, regardless of the feelings. And of course, to do this, because we're such emotional creatures and we get caught up in our feelings so often, to be able to do this, we need God's help. We need His grace to enable us to do exactly the thing we don't feel like doing. Your wife has just accused you of never doing anything around the house, and you can have a list, you have a huge list in your mind of all the things you do around the house to help. And the thing that she needs you to do, you don't feel like doing because you feel insulted and your manhood's been questioned and your faithfulness to her is, you know, being questioned. And yet you choose to do the thing that she's complaining that needs to be done anyway. But very often to do that, we have to say, God, give me the grace to love this person right now because I don't have it in me to love this person. I don't have it in me to overcome my feelings to do the right thing to this person. And this is very often our spiritual struggle, dealing with the thoughts that arise in our hearts and minds, negative thoughts, our critical thoughts, our thoughts justifying our actions, our thoughts condemning the other person, and all those thoughts get in the way of doing the right thing. And so we have to pray, we have to engage in the spiritual warfare with our thoughts to prevail against them so we can find our way to God's grace to do the right thing, even though it goes against what we feel at the time. This Jew who is wounded at the side of the road, of course, is not simply a fellow human being in physical need. He's also a fellow human being who, well, this he typifies the spiritual condition of the world. Those without Christ are wounded. They're desperately hurt. They're bleeding to death. By giving into sin, by allowing sin to rule in their lives, even if they don't realize that's what they're doing, Sin has consequences. Sin wounds us. Sin distorts us. It corrupts the image of God in us. It diminishes us as human beings. It hurts us and it hurts those around us. And we see that woundedness all around us in lives of families, as well in the political life of our country and in the social life around us. And as Christians, we have the answer that the world needs. Just as Philip found the answer that Israel needed in his time. He comes to Nathanael and says, "We found him of whom the prophet spoke, this Jesus of Nazareth. He's the one we've been waiting for. He's the Messiah." And Philip invites Nathanael to come and see for himself if this isn't so. This is our task as Christians in this world, brethren, to be aware of the wounded, the spiritual carnage around us. Not just get caught up in our comfortable, easy, relatively easy lives and concerned with eating and drinking and houses and cars and all the physical things of life which we need and are not wrong, but we limit our life to that, we're blind. There's spiritual carnage around us. People lying at the side of the road, dying. And we day by day walk by, oblivious. And to love our neighbor. To love our neighbor means not to walk by as the priest and Levi did, but to become aware and to, at very least, start praying for the people we encounter throughout the day. And you go through the supermarket checkout line and there's a checker there and the previous customer was really hard on her and gave her a bad time. Don't just let your mind be full of critical thoughts of either the teller, the checker, or the customer, but offer them up to God in prayer. Lift them before the Lord and say, "Lord, have mercy on these people. Help them by Thy Holy Spirit to know Thee. Grant them Your peace. Grant them Your healing. Help them to know You." That's all we have to do. Lord, if You want me to say something, give me the words. We just make ourselves available at that moment. And as we go through life, you know, somebody drives rudely on the freeway, as happens every day, and scares us or angers us. And instead of cursing and swearing and flying the bird and that kind of thing, we, first to deal with our anger, we pray for the one who's angered us. "Lord, have mercy on that person." You know, and lift him up in the prayer. "Lord, help him to know Thee." So every day we can bring something of God's grace to these people around us, these wounded who are in need. So we pray for them and bring them before the Lord and make ourselves available and say, "God, if You want to use me in this situation, give me words." And if we don't have anything particular to say, then we don't say anything, perhaps. But we all, as part of the church, as members of Christ's body, are participated in that ministry of reconciliation whereby Christ is reconciling the world to Himself. And as we go through this Christmas season, as we enter the Nativity Fast this week, the world, willingly or unwillingly, will be directed towards Christ. There will be opportunities to reach out to the wounded around us. There will be opportunities to say, "Come and see. Come and find the fullness of the Christian faith that you've been looking for and haven't been able to find yet. Come and find the answers to your suffering, to your problems, to your struggles. Come to Christ and see whether He isn't the Son of God made man for our salvation." So as we go through this Nativity season, may God grant us the ability to see ourselves as that Samaritan and to open our eyes to the spiritually wounded lying around us. and to be willing for God to use us, at least to pray for them, and perhaps more as He gives us words and strength. In so doing, we will be fulfilling the command to love our neighbor. To Christ our God, who loved us and gave Himself for us, be all glory, honor, and worship together, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, always, now, and ever, and unto ages.